kind of go over what we've done, and then we can move forward into tonight. So the series was called Inspired, as I said at the beginning, and we have had 3 weeks on it. The first week was talking about the triumphal entry, which is when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey before he was killed. And Chris was talking about how Jesus was in the center and how we want to start our years with Jesus in the center of our lives. Week two, Andrew was talking to us about being inspired, reading the Word of God, how God can lead us through his own word, that he can be the best teacher of his own word. And he talked to us through a story about a guy called Jacob and his brother Esau, and particularly about, within that, about Jacob's name changing and how that had spoken to Andrew and inspired him. And then the final week, last week, we spoke about Jesus being in everything and in every part of our lives. What it means to be Jesus in the center of our lives actually means him being in every single part of our lives, and how we welcome him in, invite him into those different areas. So tonight, that felt like it was a fair amount to be covering. And at the end of this series, we felt a bit, we're going to read a passage from Ezekiel, which is a book in the Old Testament, in a minute. And we felt like tonight would be quite good to be a reflective time. And as changes come up, it also feels quite good that it's a reflective time for all of us who are going through or experiencing a change. So it's going to be quite reflective. The way it's going to work is we're going to read through Ezekiel 47, a bit of it, thankfully, not the whole thing. Andrew will do a little thought from it, like a reflective thought, and then I'll lead us in some prayer, and then he'll do a thought and prayer, and that will happen kind of three times. So it's not very teaching heavy at all. It's more of a, let's see where the Holy Spirit takes us this evening, and then we'll end with communion. Does that make sense? Yeah? Yeah, great. Great. So I will hand over to Andrew, and he will take us into Ezekiel.
Okay. Hello. Tom, could you turn the red microphone up a little bit? So, Ezekiel 47. There's a very helpful way of knowing where Ezekiel is, if you're not sure. If you turn to the front of your Bible, you'll find a page that's titled Contents. You look for the name Ezekiel, and there'll be a number that corresponds with that. That number then is associated with the correct page that Ezekiel starts. I'm sort of joking. Well, I'm not joking in terms of that's actually what the contents is, but, you know, I'm being naughty. So Ezekiel 47, do turn there. We've got Bibles on the tables. If you don't have a Bible with you, then grab one of those, or feel free to find it on your telephone or anything else. Is there anyone who needs a Bible who doesn't have one? There might be some spares. Anyone got spare Bibles on their tables? Anyone need one? Well, if you need one, then maybe come share with someone at a table. So Ezekiel 47, we're going to be reading the first 12 verses, so verses 1 to 12, okay? And the way we're going to do that is that you're going to read it to yourself, okay? So make sure you've got the Bible open. That's why we need the Bible. We're going to be continually looking down and up at the Bible as we go. So it's really good for you to have it open in front of you. So I'll give you a couple of minutes. Familiarize yourself with Ezekiel 47, verses 1 to 12, and then we'll go from there, okay? So get reading. Another minute or so. If you've read it once, read it again. Okay, brilliant. Hopefully you got through that. Don't worry, that wasn't the communion table going over. I'm very nervous about that, standing behind it, standing around it. So, as Rebecca said, we're sort of landing a series tonight. But if you haven't been here during the series, don't worry, because one of the things we're going to be asking is, where is God getting our attention? And that can happen throughout all of life, whether we've been here or not. So don't feel like you're automatically not going to hear God tonight if you haven't been with us. So I wanted to, we're just going to go through the scripture point by point, and Rebecca's going to come in and do a sort of prayerful reflection. So I wanted to talk from the top, and the first thing I want to say, looking at verses 1 and 2, so let's have a look at verses 1 and 2 together from verse 47. The man brought me back to the entrance to the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple towards the east. So that wasn't all of it, verse 1 and 2, I know. So Ezekiel is an Old Testament prophet, and he is having a vivid vision from God. And the language might be hard to access, and I'm not going to be able to get the full background, the full intonation of what Ezekiel is talking about, but there are some things I want to highlight. And the first thing I want to highlight was that Ezekiel was guided. Do you know that you're guided? So in verse 1 and 2, it says, the man brought me to the temple. And then later on at the beginning of verse 2, he then brought me out. If the water represents the purposes of God, maybe generally in the world, but also in each of our lives, do you know that the Holy Spirit guides you in your relationship with God? That he doesn't just land requirements on our table and leave us to it, that he guides us and leads us. Is that your reality at the minute? Who leads your walk with God, whether you're brand new or whether you've been walking for years? Are you following the Spirit's lead? Are you letting yourself be guided in your faith? Are you aware of where God is guiding you at the minute? That's one of the main questions that Rebecca's going to be focusing on in this prayer time. Are you aware of where God is getting your attention? If you've been with us for the past 3 weeks, what stood out? What jumped out and made you think, whoa, that really, really just grabbed my attention? What's happening in your life at the minute that you think, this seems really important, or this is really affecting me? Because all of those things, God will be getting your attention through them. Are you engaging with it? So I'm going to hand over to Rebecca, and she's going to do our first prayerful reflection based on that.
Great. So one of the things that I like to do when I'm praying, so that's why I've given you guys the opportunity, is to write some things down. So again, as you will probably have noticed, there are some pieces of paper and pens on your table. Please feel free to take one. And as we pray, I guess there's an opportunity to write some of those things down, some of the things that you might either think or some of the things that you think God might be saying to you. If you haven't done anything like this before, it's absolutely fine. Feel free to give it a go if you're comfortable with it. One of the things that I'm going to be asking God to speak to us in a minute, and one of the things that I find with me is that God often speaks with the first thing that pops into my head. So whether it's a picture or maybe a phrase, but something will come into my head that suddenly makes sense and helps things become a bit clearer. So we're going to be listening for that. So let's pray. Dear Jesus, off the back of what Andrew's just been speaking about you guiding us, I want to thank you that you do guide us, that you love showing us where to walk. Thank you that you never leave us. that a guide, by definition, goes before us. And simply, as we think of you as the great guider, would you bring to mind now anything that you want to get our attention about? Where are you wanting to guide us at the moment? We're just going to have a moment's quiet to think about that. And again, if you'd like to write anything down where you're feeling guided or that God would like to guide you in your life, then please do. Jesus, where would you like to guide us? If you're not sensing anything in particular, that's absolutely fine. These are really about creating moments of space for you to reflect. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the one who guides us. Amen. If you're still writing, if you feel like something's coming out at that point, feel free to keep writing as Andrew comes and talks about the next little bit.
Brilliant. Brilliant. So, the next little bit, the next little portion of the scripture. Do you have it open before you? So the second thing I want to say is that growth is incremental. I need to put some things down here because otherwise I'll drop something. So let's look at verses 3 to 6 together. So have a look down at the scripture with me and let me read it to you. Verses 3 to 6 of Ezekiel 47. As the man, this is the guide, went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits, which apparently is about 520 meters if you're into that kind of thing. And he led me through water that was ankle deep. He measured off 1,000 cubits, 520 meters, and led me through the water that was knee deep. He measured off 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist. He measured off 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. He said, "Son of man, do you see this?" Growth is incremental. So do you see from those three verses how Ezekiel starts with water that was ankle deep? And his guide, who is leading him to explore this river, takes him further and it goes knee deep. And then his guide takes him further and he's waist deep. And then it's so deep that he's not standing anymore, but he's swimming. So if the river represents the purpose of God, the journey of faith that God is working on with you and I, each of us, what I want you to know is that it's not, the important thing is not how deep you are with God. The important thing is, are you letting him take you deeper? The important thing is not how deep you are with God. The important thing is, are you letting him take you deeper? In our family here at Christ Church, we have people, and we welcome warmly people at every depth with God. We have people who aren't even sure that they believe in God, part of our family. They're right at the heart of what we do. We have people ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, and people swimming. We're a family of people on different journeys. We're not looking for people of a certain depth. We're just looking for an openness to go, God, I'm willing to go deeper. For each of us, that will look very, very different. Sometimes in our walks with God, we feel like we haven't been going deeper for a really long time. We feel like he's stopped leading us further in. And one little question I wanted to just put on your minds, one sort of just gentle challenge I wanted to say, is that sometimes that's because we refuse to let him lead us at one point. He put his finger on something on our life and said, hey, I want to talk to you about this. And we said, no, it's off limits. And suddenly we feel like, do you know what, God's not leading me anymore. Well, that's not his desire. He always wants to lead us deeper. And if there's a decision, a moment in your life, 2 days ago, 2 years, 20 years ago, where you realize, actually, do you know what, God, I said no to your leadership. I stopped letting you lead me deeper. It takes a moment to say, actually, God, I don't want to be defined by that decision anymore. I want to allow you to lead me again. Whether it's to step into the river for the first time or to go ankle to knee or knee to waist. I think there was something else I wrote down to say, so we'll just have this little pause. You'll think it's so that what I just said could settle in and you could really, but it's really just so I could check my notes. Okay. Yeah. I also want you to know that God's leadership is trustworthy. That as he takes you deeper, as you learn more about him, that he is trustworthy. At times he asks things of us that we find uncomfortable. We begin to sense his existence, or we sense that he's asking something challenging of us. But know that he's trustworthy in his leadership. Whether his voice is familiar or new, I want you to know that he's trustworthy. Okay? Rebecca, over to you.
Great. Well, let's move back into a time of prayer and see if anything else comes up from what Andrew was sharing. Again, feel free to close your eyes, take your notes, continue writing. Dear Jesus, I thank you that as well as being our guide, you want to take us deeper with you. That it's not a stagnant friendship, but that you always call us on. Holy Spirit, I want to begin this reflection time by asking you to just put on our minds here tonight where we might be in terms of that metaphor, the picture of the river. Do we feel like we're on the bank? Do we feel like we are ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, swimming? Where do we think we are? Yeah. Where would we put ourselves? And the reason for asking that question isn't to highlight anything other than it's hard to take a step forward when you don't know where you are, you know. So Holy Spirit, highlight where we are on that journey, on our journey of faith. And following on from that, would you highlight what the next step would look like for us? Thank you, Jesus, that you lead us further on. Thank you, Jesus, that you have next steps for all of us. If you've never done anything like this before, that's really okay. We just, again, there's no pressure to pray. You can enjoy the space, enjoy the quiet. Third and final point.
Brilliant. Hope you're having a good time. I'm having a good time. Brilliant. So we're going to look at the final bit of scripture. I was desperately thinking of something there to say just to get a laugh, and nothing came. So I thought, yep, chances are if I threw something in the gap, no laughs. So I thought, let's just leave it. So the third thing I want to say, let's have a look at the final few verses. So from halfway through verse 6, where we ended, right through to the end. Then he led me back to the bank of the river. And then verse 7, here we are. Look down at it with me, read it with me. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, this water flows towards the eastern region and goes down into Araba, where it enters a dead sea. When it empties into the sea, the salty water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. People will fish along the shore from En Gedi to En Eglaim. There will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the Mediterranean Sea, but the swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing. You didn't think we'd be talking about fruit and fish tonight, did you? But there it is, in the scriptures, still relevant to our lives. I've titled this section, Faithfulness Over Fruitfulness. Faithfulness Over Fruitfulness. So the story, the narrative of this moment of Ezekiel's vision is the man guides him to the river and he takes him deeper and deeper and deeper and he says, son of man, do you see this? Are you taking stock of what I'm saying to you, of what I'm showing you, that I want to take you deeper and deeper and deeper? Once the man has guided Ezekiel deeper into this river, he then says, hey, let me show you what else is happening around the river. Salt water is becoming fresh. Swarms of living things are existing there. Trees are growing on the banks that are always bearing fruit. There's an extraordinary life that happens on the shores and around the river. But the call to Ezekiel was not to make life happen. The call was to go deeper in the river. The call to Ezekiel was to follow his guide deeper in the river. The fruit was a glorious byproduct. In our lives, in our journeys with God, whether we are on the banks, taking our first step, or swimming in the depths, the value that God loves most is faithfulness. Being in step with his guidance, saying yes to what he wants to do with our life. And the reason that he loves faithfulness is it means that he can bear the fruit that he wants to bear. Our objective is not to bear fruit. That is not my responsibility or your responsibility. God's call on your life is to be faithful. To get wind of what he is laying his finger on here today. And for you to go, I will take hold of that word, that thing that you are saying, that thing that you are drawing my attention to. And I will steward that well. I will look after that really well. And I trust you for the fruit. I had a period of my life where I was really obsessed with seeing tangible progress. I love a good bit of progress. Seriously. Love it. You know? Trying to think of a sort of everyday example of progress. Struggling. But I love progress. Progress. And it's so much so, and I used to think that progress in my life, so development in career, development in my spirituality, seeing fruit through what I was putting my effort into was primarily my responsibility. I thought that my inner health was primarily, I had to make it happen. I saw everything through the lens of bearing fruit. I became quite a little bit too intense. In fact, when I first met Rebecca, I'll tell you this story. I walked into the room and she was with a group of friends and I didn't know what to do. So I went around and shook everybody's hand. Hello, I'm Andrew. Hello, I'm Andrew. Hello, I'm Andrew. And I was looking at them like they should see the significance of this moment. I was way too intense, let me tell you. That first impression didn't go well. I didn't endear myself to Rebecca. In fact, she remembers sitting there laughing at me, so I wouldn't recommend that as a way of getting into someone's good books. And it was all because I thought the objective of my life was to bear fruit. I thought that was my responsibility. And slowly and wonderfully, the Holy Spirit, which is God in one of his forms, began to teach me that fruitfulness was his job and faithfulness was my job. That he would put his finger on different things in my life at different times. He'd say, would you please focus on this thing? Would you please set about doing this thing? And as I did that, I recognized I became more who I was meant to be. I became more relaxed. I became more peaceful. I began to be surprised at what sprang up in my life, how things developed, because it wasn't me making them happen. It was the kindness of God. And so as we look at this passage from Ezekiel and there's life happening because of this river, know that the life is the work of God. And his call to you is to be faithful to what he's asking. Okay? Brilliant. Rebecca, over to you.
Great. Are we all okay? Yeah? Great. Let's move into our final time of prayer before we go to communion. Again, feel free to keep your eyes open, closed, what feels comfortable. So faithfulness over fruitfulness. Yeah. Let's just take a moment to reflect on what Andrew has said. Whether there's anything in it that particularly stood out to you. Dear Jesus, thank you that in so many ways our path is so simple. That our focus and all our energy can go into following you and that we can trust you with the rest. Please bring to mind now any feeling of responsibility, any pressures that may be weighing down on us that we have taken onto our own shoulders. Rather than sharing with you. Jesus, I thank you that you don't mean for us to be weighed down. You don't mean for us to take all the responsibility ourselves. And as we did with the change earlier, that sense of change, we lay the things down that feel heavy at your feet. You say in the Bible that our burden can be easy because we share it with you. So those things that just came to mind now, we lay down before you and we ask for you to help us with them. Thank you that all of us here were made to be fruitful, that all of us were made to display good things. I also thank you so much that we don't have to take the responsibility for that. We don't have to strive.